Surround us with your name.
Surround us with your love this day.
Marked forever.
The rivers of life flow.
And with your signature.
Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you in this house, in our temples.
Sing that one more time, burn me.
We offer up.
Burn me beautiful.
To you.
Burn me lovely. Burn me righteous, burn me holy, burn me beautiful, burn me lovely, burn me righteous, burn me holy. One more time, burn me beautiful, burn me lovely, burn me righteous, burn me holy, burn me beautiful, burn me lovely, burn me righteous.
Heavenly Father, as our hearts are open wide to you and our hands lifted up in surrender, I'm going to ask every hand to be lifted up in this house. For you are the refiner's fire, Lord God. And there is a holy fire burning inside of each of us. It is an altar that we come to before you, for you're holy. And in this place of holiness, Lord, we are yielding our spirit to you. We are yielding our heart to you, all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, and our will to you. For you are calling out a people to be set apart and sanctified and consecrated unto you. Because of your love for us, the fire is increasing. For we are called to walk by our spirit, where our bodies lay down. Our soul is surrendered to the spirit that you have given to us. For we are spirit of your spirit, Lord God. And because we are spirit from your spirit, you have given each of us your holy light, for we are your light burning brighter and brighter here in this earth. And I speak to every spirit here to arise, to come to the front as you are walking with the Lord in partnership with Holy Spirit, teaching you the ways of the Father, revealing to you his thoughts for you, his plans for you, his scroll for you. Because your spirit can eat the scroll, and it is like honey, that you will know the plan that the Lord has for you, that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul is prospering. So we do partake of the living word. We live in the word. We love the word. And we thank you that nothing will offend us as we are abiding in Christ. We say, arise and shine within us, Jesus. I want everyone to say that, arise and shine with your light within me, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for this people that have come together, gathered together. Jesus is in our midst when two or more come together. So we glorify your name, Jesus, and all that is in the name of Jesus. We give you honor and glory and praise this day. And everyone says, amen. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. He has received this offering of our worship, of our spirit-to-spirit worship to him. It is an incense. It is a fragrance that goes before him. And so I am here today to exhort you. While our very beloved Pastor LaRue is sharing and releasing what's in this house to a church that was inviting him to come, and he is releasing the truth that's in this house. And this pastor was like, please come, please come, please come. I've been listening to your teachings. I cannot get enough. Will you please come and plant this in this house? So he is over in the Willowbrook area. So let's just release a blessing and our love to him right where he is. And just say, pour your spirit into that house, that spirit of truth, that they be set on fire. Amen. So here he is telling us, this is the Lord's thoughts, and his thoughts are so precious towards you. I want everyone to say that. Your thoughts are so precious to me. You know, we are his treasured possession here in the earth. When we belong to him, we cannot belong to anything else. We cannot be in bondage or in any kind of ungodly attachment when we are intentionally choosing him to be our first love. We cannot have another love. We cannot have an idol, because all idols are being torn down in our lives. And we are choosing him to be our source for all of our needs. If you need righteousness, Lord, you are my righteousness. He will bring that transformation. If you need peace, you are my peace. Even in the midst of a storm, irregardless of the circumstances going on, even this global virus, this corona virus, when you are abiding, when we are choosing to see ourselves yielded and submitted in that secret place, it says no plague can come nigh my dwelling. He is boosting our immune system with the life of Christ, because he is the one who's above every sickness, every disease, every plague, all depression, the heaviness, fear. He is our Prince of Peace. He is Almighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the one who was. He is the one who is. He is the one who is to come. And when we are living in the present and in this place of such great joy, that is what pours out of us when we are moved into his strength, because he strengthens us. He causes us to arise and to shine, because when we are so aware that we've been created in his image, what a perfect specimen you are. You are a piece of the master here in the earth. And if we try to look at ourselves and tear ourselves down or let somebody else judge us, when we completely dismiss any of these thoughts, these fears, what other people think, or even what we may think about ourselves, whether in our natural man, in our body, oh gosh, I've got this and that and veins and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like the Lord wants us to put all of our focus on him. Not on any of our flaws, any of our perceived shortcomings, because in his eyes, you've been made perfect. You are perfect. And he's perfecting everything about you, Sandy, and about me. And that's the joy that we have, is agreeing with him, coming into agreement with who he says we are, that we can walk in that perfect harmony with him. We can abide under the shadow of the Most High God, to dwell with him in the secret place, because he's prepared that place on the inside of us that the enemy cannot even come nigh that place. And this is where our faith increases and is arising, and it pleases the Father. And this is what I desire. I want to please my Father. And I ask for that quick obedience. I want to be so yielded with my spirit, man. I'm here. Yes, Lord, send me. And as we are coming into that, such a place of strengthening and blessing our spirit, man, because we are made from his substance. It is holy and it is pure. And I want to just bless your spirit this day from the kingdom of peace. I'm just going to release this to you because there's such power in the spoken word. Everything that we are saying and coming into agreement with, there is a vibration, and it is like the dunamis of God when it's released from your spirit to your spirit man personally, from this pulpit to your spirit man, when you come into agreement with his truth about you and completely eradicating every evil thought, every lie of the enemy quickly, not thinking on it or meditating it on the things of the past, because that door is closed and when the blood of Jesus is over it, all those portals and accesses is like they're closed and sealed. So we can abide here in this place and in this moment. So I speak to your spirit in the name of Jesus. The Holy Jesus, the one of Nazareth, listen to the word of God for you. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Say, I have seen a great light. Our eyes are open. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. As men rejoice when dividing the plunder, we are moving into a time here and now. This is the season of springtime. Things are springing out quickly. All those seeds that you put on the inside of your spirit, that which you have sown to in your spirit is going to spring up suddenly. Suddenly, you will see it. You will see the fruit of that which you've been sowing into your own spirit arise within you and multiply for the feeding of the nations. And you will see that which you've sown into. When you reap a great harvest, we will reap the greatest harvest of souls that we've ever known and or experienced in all of history, because of the time that we're living in. It is such an incredible time that we're living in, a time to rejoice, because we are called out as his remnant. We are called to run before them and make a path in the way of the wilderness, because the government is on our shoulders, because Christ dwells in us. His government is on our shoulders. His peace, he is the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. And it is the zeal of the Lord. And we're clothed in that zeal. We have a cloak of zeal. It comes by being clothed from on high. For as we are dwelling with him, he makes known his thoughts to us. He manifests his will for us on our behalf because of his great love for us. His love cannot fail. His love will never fail. Because he is love. We have received from him this love that casts out all fear, that helps us in our every time of need. He is continuously building our spirit man with the living stones, because we are his house. We are his temple together, fitly joined together. We are his house. And as we are giving ourselves to him, he is that fire. Invite him every day. Burn within me. Burn within me. Burn out anything, any of the dross in you, the things that I can't even think of that I desire for you to have and lay hold of, so that you can fully possess me, that you can have me completely. Because as we yield to him and surrender to him, we will be able to do what Jesus did. We will look like Jesus. We will sound like Jesus. What a perfect and holy man of God he was and is to come. He is showing us those things to come. He says this, that he has a holy fear. That's the only fear we're to have. That is this holy fear and reverential fear of him. For he has his angels from on high in your midst. He is your protection. We are abiding in that place of protection, knowing that he is taking care of all the circumstances that concern you, your children, your children's children, your family. So I bless your spirit this day. I bless you with knowing the knowledge of his purpose and his plan for you. I bless you this day with life-giving relationships. I bless you this day with friends that are those that are on fire for God, where you can have that prayer and accountability with another and grieving with all that the Lord is doing, is that you will leap for joy with that power of the dunamis of rising within you. I bless you this day with knowing how God fights for you. He is fighting for you, for everything that concerns you, for that victory. I bless you with your understanding that your identity, all of you, can be found in the Father, in His Word, in His truth, dwelling in His love, securely loved by Him and loved by your church family, loved by all that He's surrounding you with. Is He surrounding you with His love, wrapping Himself around you? All of the resources that you need, He is flowing into your whole being, that you have the fullness of this inheritance that comes from Christ Jesus. He's laid it up in heavenly places. Where do you want to dwell? With Him in the heavenly places, or here, or in both places? Bringing that dominion here. All that He's laid up for you there, receiving it in your spirit, man, and pouring it out here. That light from His light, that fire from His fire, that provision, the treasures of the heavenlies. So we rejoice in the Lord this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just give Him some praise again, won't you? Let's just give Him some joy, because we are joy of His joy. So God bless you all this morning. It's good to see everybody here in this house and all who are coming in through the live streaming. We welcome you. So happy to see each and every one of you, your beautiful, shining, lovely, radiant faces. I just love it when some of you come in, you're just so excited. It's like being little children. It's like you're so excited to see what God's going to do in this house. My heart is so excited to come. This is how He wants us to come, with just such pure purity and expectation. That expectation is what makes Him so pleased, because then He shows up. And that's what makes the power of coming together in a congregation, in this setting. It just makes this whole atmosphere charged. And I just love seeing your faces when I come to church. It's just so wonderful. Paco's always so sweet. He comes and he just, "Hi, Pastor Anna," lays his head on my, it's just the sweetest thing. You all are amazing. Each and every one of you are so precious. Precious to us, precious to the Father. And Vi, wonderful job this morning. It was beautiful hearing your heart and your testimony. Powerful intercessor in this house. And this is a house of prayer. And your homes are called to be a house of prayer. And everywhere we're going, we're giving Him His words back to Him so that He will manifest it on our behalf. We're giving Him that substance of our faith. So good to see you all. Just wonderful. Love this house. Love this house. God bless you all. And we're going to be having a special picnic, a gathering out at Bear Creek Park the last Saturday of this month. It's going to be on the 28th. And if you're going to be able to come, or looking to come, or praying about coming, would you just put your hand up for me? Just put your hand up for me, because we want to know who's going to be able to come. There you go. It's going to be fun. Awesome. I love it. Just give yourself some love. Just put your love right around your own little arms. Just give yourself a hug and just love on your neighbor. It's going to be a special time. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to invite Andreas to come on up here, as he's going to release a word of encouragement about our tithes and our offerings, because this is being offered up into this open atmosphere over this place. Amen. And this is a man of love. So let's just give him some love, won't you? Come on, let's just give it up to him.
Amen. What an awesome morning it's been. Welcome live stream, and those here, our family here at Father's House. This morning was a very, very, the atmosphere set by really set the Jordan flow for me, you know, to know that I was fighting that Jordan sometimes, you know, and all I had to do is, you know, pick my, if you're dog paddling or fighting, and just kind of float, like pick your feet up, your hands, and just let God flow with that. Yes, I learned a lot. And Pastor Anna was releasing the spring harvest. That's pretty amazing this time of year. You know, everything starts blossoming and looking really beautiful out, and that looking at that in our spirit, man, how it's time that those things are going to come out. And spirit of your spirit, That was amazing. A spirit of your spirit. And what an honor to carry that. What an honor. You know, we look and listen to the words. We were, you know, from the foundations of this world, he had that plan to give us spirit of his spirit. Amen. And in tithing, and, you know, we give him worship. And this morning, the early service, it was a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere. And then it just sets an atmosphere for the second. And, you know, I can't even, you know, in my mind is seeing him look down at us when we're, you know, here's his kids, you know, just like, man, look at them. They're praising, you know, they're offering praise to me. And you know, it's just beautiful, I think, in his heart to see his kids, you know, sons and daughters worshiping him in the morning and just bringing all of our love to him. What can we give him? Amen. We give him worship, and now we give a chance to give into his kingdom. And one of the things that I always look at in tithing, you know, the messages, you know, I can look at many scriptures that we've all heard. But imagine the wise men, you know, and they were called and they brought, you know, gifts, traveled afar. And you know, we drive here in cars and they were on camels and, you know, they went a long way, days journeys, deserts, to bring the King of Kings an offering. What a privilege. See, sometimes we sit here and the enemy will poke us. No, 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 don't put another zero, or don't, you know, don't give your last $3. But what he does with the multiplication, we can't see it. And even whether you're, you know, a tithe, this, you know, if it's your only, like the woman with the two, you know, mites, it's like he multiplies because he sees your heart. He doesn't see the amount, you know. He knows what to move in your heart to give. And one of the things is receiving. And you imagine the kings when they left there, how they must have felt. Leaving the treasure and then later finding out who they gave their tithe and offering to. You know, I bet they're like, yeah, I gave to Jesus. Yeah, I did. And we have the chance today to do that. But think of how many other people, if they would have known, do you think they would have taken the same journey? Yes. Amen. And this is an opportunity for us to give back into his kingdom. And then after we give, we get to receive. Well, what do we receive? We receive word that comes from this pulpit that gives us the opportunity to move in our spirit man out to do his ministry. Amen. By praying for others, going to visit people in the hospital, going to street ministry. You know, the prayer, our intercessors are amazing here at our Father's house. And I think we don't see in our natural lives what's actually being released in our house here. But the Father does. There's a lot of prayer that prays hours before we get here. There's people praying. Amen. And we get to receive health. Amen. And the harvest. We get to receive wealth. Amen. The blessings we have. And I encourage you today as you give, be a wise man, be a wise woman as you come up. You don't have to, you know, come up in a camel, but just come up here and greet somebody as you're there. Also, we want to just bless Brother Ruben's watching on a live stream. And we just want I'm going to pray a real quick prayer before we receive our offering. Father God, I thank you for this offering, Father God, even before we receive it, Lord, that your hands are ready in that basket, Father God, that you will do the same as you did with the fish and loaves, Father God, that you would multiply that, Father God, to bless this nation, Father God. We thank you for the word that's coming from this pulpit out into to this country and around the world, Father God. And as we say this around the world, Father God, we pray over this coronavirus, Father God. We stand in agreement, Father God, right now, Father God, that fear would not set in our hearts, Father God, that worry would not set in our hearts, Father God, that we would not let the media change our hearts, Father God, that our eyes will stay focused on you and only you, Father God. We thank you for all the healing in all the nations, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
God, send your spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God. The temple, you are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe. Spirit,
Spirit of God flowing in this sanctuary, flowing in these lives, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God stirring, Father, for the Spirit of God bringing forth freedom, Father, for bringing forth deliverance, for bringing forth wholeness, for bringing forth wellness, for bringing forth health, for bringing forth finance. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God stirring in this house, Father, for the Spirit of God bringing forth that love and that joy that comes, Father, from knowing you, that love and that joy that comes from being centered in you, Lord. I thank you for that first Spirit of life, Lord, that stirs in this house, Father, that stirs lives, Father, that makes a difference, Father, that makes us look a little different, Father, that makes us look a little different every day, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we're coming into that image of Christ that you've created, Father, because your Spirit is stirring in this place. Your Spirit is stirring in our hearts, Father. I thank you that the fire of God, Father, is moving, Father, and I thank you that we can get in it, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that even in this offering, Father, that the Spirit of God is stirring. In the Spirit, Father, I thank you, Lord. So we lift it up to you. We lift it up to your grace, Father. We lift it up to your multiplication, Father. We lift it up, Father, to your hand, Lord. I thank you, Father, because, Lord, as it's broken forth in your hand, Lord, it's multiplied. As it's broken forth in your hand, it's blessed, Father. So we call it blessed today, Father. We call it blessed, Father. We call the givers blessed. We call, Father, the partakers blessed, Father. Everywhere that it goes, Father, we send a blessing with it. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the kingdom is multiplied. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wushadara monkori shikiataro. Budati. Beshondaro. Mbariandariera. Man, there's just such a stirring. There's just a stirring in the house. It's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of and see those things. Rosie, this says that it doesn't matter what you see, but the days of multiplication are ahead. There's a multiplication that's coming, and it doesn't matter what else is going on around, but if you'll just make the plans, he'll make the way. If you'll make the plans, he'll give you the place to step, and in the moment, in the place, and the precise timing of the step. And so it's just a matter of surrender and trusting like you've trusted before. You've trusted before. You know how to trust him, and just say, Lord, I know you're doing it. I know you won't take me any other way. Hallelujah. Shut up, Buddha. Shunda de be. Ishundo. Ishundalo. Ishundalo. Elena, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. There's a newness. There's a newness that's arising. There's a newness like it's like a bright noon sun coming up. It hasn't been there for a while, but it's coming up now. It's arising. It's arising in your countenance. It's arising in your spirit. It's arising in your life. Hallelujah. Bishop. Dr. Chin, there's a joy that's just infectious. When you allow yourself to be like a child and just be a child, that the glory, there's a release of glory that comes with that, that changes even everything around the atmosphere. Just simply because you chose to be childlike in your expression, He chose to come in His glory and in His grace to make it happen. Hallelujah. Bushaday. Hope the past seasons are gone. They're just gone. The past seasons are just gone. It's time to celebrate. It's time to move into what's new. He set a path before you, and He said, it's new. It's me. Step in. I think we all need to receive that. Because see, sometimes we've been stepping in an old pathway. Sometimes we've let an old thing come over us, and now it's time to just say, Lord, I'll receive what is new. So I'll just say it with me. I receive what is new. I'll receive what you've given so freely. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the reminder. You know, I've been married for 40 years as of yesterday, and I didn't do it by myself. My wife has been married for 40 years too. Hallelujah. She deserves a whole lot more of that credit than I do. I can tell you for sure. But I can't think of a better person to have spent this time with. Treat her gentle now. Gentle now. Hallelujah. 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 So, you know, it's one of those, you know, as my mother-in-law used to always say, another milestone. Another milestone. But in every birthday card, she would write another milestone. And many more. But it's an awesome milestone just to see. Because, see, I've told you before, my dad told me that it would last 6 months, so... So I've been 80 times better than that. Hallelujah. We did it. But we did it because God has been in our midst, even when we didn't understand. Even when we hadn't even seen Him yet. We named our first child Nathan David. And when I began to understand biblically who Nathan and David were, I was like, oh my God, what were you were talking to me even then, and I didn't even have a clue. Didn't have a clue. Yeah, and our next son's Aaron. So okay, we had God moving in our midst. And but sometimes it's simple little things that you do or you don't do that make all the difference in the world. Because, see, we moved out to this area, the Cy-Fair area, simply because we had a friend who moved out to the Cy-Fair area. We had apartments that were just two doors down, and we were friends. And anyway, we were the dope-smoking kind of friends. But anyway, It was, but nonetheless, when they moved, they got a house out here, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty cool little area. And so when we moved out here in the same little subdivision. Had we not moved there, we would never have been playing baseball. Had we not been playing baseball, we would never have met the lady who eventually introduced us to Christ. And if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be together. Because Christ is what put this together. With Christ in our life, it's Christ in our life that made all the difference and made those 40 years possible. He was the difference maker, because we lived 15 years and there were good moments, but there were lots of bad moments that didn't need to even happen. That's why she gets all the credit, because she was the one who had to deal with it. Amen. I was busy just being me. I didn't realize how being me affected everybody else. Being me didn't change. I mean, I had impact. I was a person of influence. It just wasn't always the right influence. So, hallelujah. I don't know how I got off on this. But I want to say this publicly. I could not have had a better person to do life with. Amen.
Well, I think that I have to say something publicly too. And it's all good. It's all good. We were 19 years old when we got married. He had just turned 19, and I was like, look at him, a month away from being 19, or a month away from being 20. So we were very young. And I remember my mother was on her way to Florida for a vacation. She said, well, do you think you can get your wedding together so when I come back next week, we can be, you know, do it then? And I'm like, well, sure. But the question that she asked me was, do you love him? I hadn't really thought about it. The truth is, we did things out of order, and I was pregnant. And we chose to get married. But when she asked me that question, I was like, I'm 19 years old. How do I know what love is? I don't know what love is. I mean, I like him. I like him a lot. But, you know, I can stand here today and I can tell you 40 years later, I love every part of him. Aww. And I can't imagine doing life without him. So if there's something in your marriage that you don't feel is right, ask him and have hope. Because what he did for us, he'll do for all.
Amen. 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 And he will surround you with that counsel and with that wisdom if you allow it to happen. And just a matter of allowing it to happen. So just encourage you. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with where today's teaching is going. But I wanted to just put those things out there because it's important for us to have examples to look at and things to think about. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalms 1. I know where I want to end up. I'm just not sure exactly how we're going to get there yet. But Pastor was on Wednesday night was sharing about this immunity in the spirit, by basically immunizing yourself in the spirit. By that, I mean basically even for physical things. And so out of that, he was sharing that out of Ezekiel 47, where you basically have the waters that flow out from the temple of God. And those waters are flowing out from the temple of God. And alongside the river, on either side of the river, are trees that are growing. And those trees are basically the tree of life. And that tree of life is releasing the leaves for healing and releasing fruit for food. And that tree of life is beginning to stir. And it has a destiny within you. Because see, that tree of life represents what Christ is to you. But also represents what he is in you. It's what he is in you. And so I want to touch base on some of that this morning. So it says here in Psalm 1, it's a short psalm, so let's just read it together. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. How many people want to prosper in all that you do? It doesn't matter what you're doing. I think we want to prosper at it. No one starts out, no one builds a business saying, I want to fail. No one starts a ministry saying, I just want to fail. No, we want to prosper at whatever it is that we're doing, whatever we're putting our hand to, whatever we're seeing is where my goal is. That's where we want to prosper. See, that can take many forms. But see, it says here, verse 4, that the wicked are not so. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. In other words, when the wind blows, it goes. And so, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. See, if you start thinking about the coronavirus in terms of this, then now that basically begins to give you a place where you can anchor in to this promise that we have. Because see, when we see it's the wicked that are going to get driven away, that'll get carried away, in other words, they don't prosper in those times. But at the same time, when we begin to find and look to God and trust in him, leaning on the word itself, leaning on our understanding of the word itself and not our own understanding, now we have a situation where we're already anchored in something that takes you into a place of prosperity. The reason that those trees never had to do anything to prosper is simply because they were anchored in right next to the bank where they were being fed from the water of the river of life. It's the water of the river of life. It's the word. It's your being planted in the word that delivers the water of the river of life to you. It's as we're planted in that river that it begins to allow you to have something that taps into the life source itself. And as we're tapped into the life source, then there's a release that causes us to be able to bring glory unto him. That's the fruit coming from our life. See, not only do we want to be fruit inspectors, but we want to be fruit deliverers. Because you can't be a deliverer until you're a fruit bearer. That's a good point. Let's be a fruit bearer and then a fruit deliverer. See, every tree, it says in Matthew, that every tree is known by its fruit. And I can tell you that, sometimes we get really caught up in looking for our fruit or trying to establish our fruit. But if you'll, instead of trying to establish your fruit, if you'll just instead focus on being that proper tree, bring the good tree. Because see, when we're a good tree is going to bear forth good fruit. But if all I'm trying to do is produce fruit, I can produce fruit for a little while, no matter what my tree might be. I can be an apple tree and I can be putting a pear out there just for everybody to look at. But see, that's not authentically as who I am. So at some point in time, it's going to get discovered that this fruit over here wasn't really my fruit. But when we begin to focus on, and what I'm talking about when I'm saying focus on becoming the good tree, what I'm saying, we're focusing on the image of Christ within us. We're focusing on that new nature. And when we have that focus on the new nature will in of itself produce good fruit. And even if you temporarily have some bad fruit still hanging on your limb from some other past season, know that if you'll just focus on being the good tree, focus on carrying forth the word and the mission of Christ that's put in you, the image of Christ in you, transforming into that image. As you do so, then the other fruit will disappear and new fruit comes. See, you just heard from our testimony, there was a whole lot of fruit hanging on my life. It just unfortunately wasn't good when we first got married. Some of it must have been at least attractive enough that she bought in. It was the hair. Yeah, I had really beautiful hair at that point. Oh, do I still have hair? So all this fruit, okay, were things that as I became a Christian and as I began to understand who I was in Christ, those things began to fall off. I only can tell you the last time that I had a drink was sometime before, just before I got saved, simply because I know at that point in time I haven't done it since. But it doesn't matter what the fruit was. What matters is, am I looking, am I becoming the real authentic tree? Because if I'm becoming an authentic tree, the fruit will speak for itself. If I'm tapped into the river of God, the river that comes flowing out of the temple, then there's a release of good fruit that comes with it. Why? Because that which you're feeding on is what gets released eventually. That which your heart feeds on is what gets released. When the Lord said that I am the bread, when he began to declare that he was the water of life, when he began to declare those things, that he was saying those things so that we would be tapping in and feeding on him. Because the more we would feed on him, and the more we can recognize Christ in us, the hope of glory, and now we become the glory that is getting released. Hallelujah. Whatever he does, he prospers. Go with me to Jeremiah 17. Okay. Jeremiah, see what's happening is in Jeremiah 17. It's speaking about the sin of Judah. It's speaking about the sin of Judah. And in the sin of Judah, it's also releasing this about the tree and about the purpose of the tree. But it's also releasing about how this begins to happen. So did we conquer? Are we? Okay. To conquering to conquer? Glory to God. So Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. See, you have no reason to fear when the heat comes. You have no reason to draw back when a season of drought is around, because see, when you are tapped into the source, it doesn't matter what's happening in the outside places. When you're tapped into the source, you're delivering from the source. And because of that, your fruit begins to still bear on your tree. The fruit begins to still bear up and be released. And all of the healing that's available in the leaves will still operate through you. Praise God. but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield its fruit. Nor cease to yield its fruit. Now, see, there is sometimes this next verse gets quoted a lot, but they don't tell you what it's about. So I'm not going to shy away from it. Let's just embrace it for a moment. Okay, it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Now, let me tell you, right up front, this is not talking about your born-again spirit, your born-again heart. This is not talking about who you are in Christ. This is talking about what the old man is capable of and what the enemy is wanting to take advantage of. This is not talking about who you are in God. Some people misquote it and use it as a way to just tell you, you know, you're never ever going to change. You're never ever going to get better. Your just heart is desperately wicked and sick. Desperately wicked. Yeah, you got to do the pointed thing. So you get the idea. You do. Yeah, we could have our example stand up. So now you're making me lose my thought. So I know. It's like a rodeo, bro. You just got to stay on the horse as long as you can. But when the ride's over, the ride's over. All right. So, will not be anxious and not yield to useless fruit. And where were we before that? Oh, the heart desperately wicked. Heart desperately wicked. See, this is not us. But we understand that's the capacity that's in the old nature. It's the capacity of the old nature. It's the capacity of where what has been, and it may even have been. For some of us, there was a lot of desperately wicked. I'm hopeful that it was a while back. But if it was today, it's okay. Because there's grace. Because there's grace. There was a lot of help that we get with the desperately wicked. See, when society right now, media right now, is pushing the desperately wicked. They're calling things that are something totally different than what they are. I was at a prayer meeting the other day, and someone started praying about the abortion thing. You know, it's wrong when we call abortion, what do they call it, women's reproductive health? That's a really that's a really slick term. But it's a slick term that keeps you from seeing what the truth is. It's a slick term from keeping you to seeing and understanding that this is murder. It's a slick term that keeps people locked down and tricks people into doing something that they would never otherwise do. I know from doing Sozo the pain that is caused, the hurt that happens in people's lives. I know I see the torment, and I know also how wonderfully the Lord wants to minister to those hearts. Because see, every statistic means that there's a person, there's a mom, there's a dad who really, really just needs to know God's love for their heart and for their life. And if we'll see it that way, and we can begin to release what God's plan is, instead of seeing them as someone to be opposed, see them as someone to draw near and call out what God's purpose is. Because see, it doesn't take faith to tell them what they can already know. It takes faith to speak into their life and release who God is to them. Release God's purpose, his destiny for them. See, the heart wants to be turned by those things. They want, and people want to take advantage of that and turn our decision with some slick terminology. But we have an opportunity in each and every one of those cases to breathe life, to be life, to intercede for life, to be a walking release of life. Hallelujah. It's the capacity of the old nature. But if we'll see the capacity of the new nature. In Genesis 3:17, I believe it is. Genesis 3, let me turn there so I can quote it to you. I want to pull all this together real quick. See, in the garden, Genesis 3, verse 10, in the garden, Adam is making his excuses. He's trying to justify here. And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. This is good, except that there's a little problem. And the Lord addresses the problem. He says, who told you you were naked? He went right to the source. He went right to the situation. Who told you you were naked? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? So when something comes into your life and it makes you feel like you want that you're smaller than you were, if it makes you feel unworthy, if it makes you feel not good enough, if it makes you feel the way you're not part of what God is doing, I want to ask you, who told you that? When it comes and tells you you're just a filthy sinner, who told you that? Because it wasn't God. When it tells you you don't have a hope or a future, who told you that? What comes from the mouth of the Father is going to be edifying. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be the same things that he declared. When he says we prophesy, it's to edify and to uplift. It's to encourage and to build up and to construct. And those are the kind of things that are going to happen. And it's just like Green Lantern, baby. I mean, you just construct with it. And never mind. That's a whole other thing. It's constructing. Because his word is constructive because it has life in it. And so if you receive something that does not have life in it, what I'm going to ask you is, who told you that? If you have a depressive thought, who told you that? If you have a sinful thought, who told you that? If you have an anxious thought, who told you that? If we just begin to understand, we take that one concept right there, we can eliminate our fear in our situations. Why? Because we recognize that there's somebody who's telling us that, but it's not God. And when we can recognize, when you can recognize what is authentic, you can recognize what is fake. When you have self-doubt, who told you that? When you have fear, who told you that? When you start addressing it that way, when you start addressing it, I'm recognizing there's something that's coming into my life and I don't have to respond to it any longer. Why? Because I'm responding to the new nature that's within me. I'm responding to the image of Christ because Christ has put an image and he's releasing his glory and I don't have time to be depressed anymore. I don't have time to be condemned. If condemnation has come over your life, then you cannot correct your sign. Just ask yourself, who told me that? Because it wasn't your Jesus. It wasn't the Father. When I recognize the source, now I know what I can kick out. Because you have authority. All he's needing to do is for you to recognize the source so that you know what you're doing. We need to put our boots on. Put our boots on. Let's do some walking. Let's do some kicking. Because it's time to kick those things out. no matter where they came from, no matter what happened, no matter what, where they were going, no matter what, because we have authority. You have authority in your hand. You have authority in your mouth. You have authority in your heart. And if it came from somewhere else, that's not God. I know who told me that. I know who told me that. So it's time to move a little marching. It's time to recognize the image of Christ within us. Because when we recognize the image of Christ within us, now we have a place where we can release destiny and purpose. And when we can come alongside and come into an agreement, recognizing that I don't care what the enemy told me. I don't care what that teacher told me. That what that teacher said, it doesn't matter. If she didn't tell me something that lines up with Christ, I can recognize it didn't come from my father. If she told me I was stupid and never going to get anywhere, that ain't God. Your hope and your possibility lies in you recognizing who told you that. As we begin to understand that, we can begin to have a grip on what we're going to do and what we're going to agree with. See, self-condemnation is simply agreement with the enemy. But we know who told you that. Destiny is just receiving the one who told you that. When we receive of His goodness, when we receive of His grace, when we receive of His love, when we receive of His promise, when we start seeing receiving of the inheritance, because He told us that. Now He set something in my heart that's no longer, I'm no longer subject to the whims of man, but my trust is in the Lord. See, this whole passage is about putting your trust in the Lord and no longer the systems of man. Golly, I was going somewhere totally different and it just changed, but that's okay. When God puts something in your heart and He begins to bring a manifestation of destiny to you, when you begin to dream with Him, when you begin to agree with Him, when you begin to stand with Him, now all of a sudden you have somebody who's telling you that, and begin somebody asks you, well, why are you suddenly the president? Because I listened to one who told me that. I stood up with the one who told me that I could. I just chose to march with the one who told me that I got somewhere to go. Because He told me that. Hallelujah. I had a whole nother place I was going to go, but that's okay. I think we're good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. How we think about ourselves depends on which person we're listening to. If I'm not finding myself in a place of being lifted up, being brought into increase, then I have to recognize the one who told me that isn't the one I need to listen to. But if I find myself on a journey into God and on a journey into possibility and on a journey into strength and on a journey into increase, I know that there's one who's telling me that. Hallelujah. I think our pastor has something he wants to share here.
Amen. Hey, everybody. Praise the Lord. What a glorious day. Good word. Good word. I like that last part. 15 minutes I got. Praise God. How are you all? Woo.